And I want to thank the sponsors, Ari Daniels, Le'ilu Nishmas, Yaakov and Eliezer, Bracha Bas Aaron and Rafua Shlema, Rachel Breina Bas Sara, Danny Strassman, Le'ilu Nishmas, his wife, Elka Shoshana Bas Avram, Surreal Rosa Schus, Shmir Seinayim for all of us, Menachem Levitz, the Schus of the Kedusha of his son Shimon, Yehud and Shmuel, they shall all be healthy and well. And Alex Shulman, the Schus of Shmir Seinayim, and Shmir Sebris of his son Moshe Chaim, and all of our children, Bez Hashem. Seder, let's finish this Torah from Rav Motl that we were learning last week. And it needs more of a hesber because it touches upon this serious, what appears to be some sort of a paradox that on the one hand, this is what we talked about last week, that on the one hand, when it comes to this inyan of Pugam HaBris, there's nothing that we could find that's as serious travesty of Eira in the eyes of the Zohar Kaddish and Tzaddikim, on the one hand, but on the other hand, the tikkunim that we have in the Svarim are real and doable and beautiful and shayach to each and every one of us. And we need to get a clear understanding of this, and I told you that there are a few other mamarim from Rav Motl to follow up in a deeper level, that this is sort of an introduction to that, and we'll try to do that. And the Mitzvah Hashem, you know, to get also to learn the Nigla side of it. And then one of the Chevra out of town just sent me a reminder that 18 months ago I promised that there would be like a few talks on exactly how to speak to the kids about it. And I never carried through on that. Right, that's the scariest part of all of this, how to do that. So I haven't forgotten. I just believe that we need to have stronger background and certainly to do some of the niglins and to understand the meat of Yesod, so that when we do talk and we do try to explain, it could be coming from a place that's very rich and that's very deep and that's very real. Or else there are one or two books that have suggestions about how to talk to your kids about this funny stuff. But that's not my intention with this shiur. My intention with this shiur is to try to understand Ba'aymik in a very, very deep way. And as I said to you many times, that I don't follow any curriculum. I don't know of any curriculum in this field. I don't think there's any curriculum. And I just, if in my davening or my learning, and I have a thought that I want something to share with you, to give chizuk or to understand, so I do that. And I ask your tolerance and I ask your forgiveness that I'm not more mesuder. And this is all something which is new, a new limud, and mitzvah Hashem. Try to put things into some sort of a seder afterwards, but during the time that it's happening, I try to trust my instincts and the daven that we should learn what we need for that week. So I hope you meichel me. So let's look at Avo Be'emes Ha'odem Yisrael Tzarech Ladas. The middle of that page Lamed or page 3, that I wrote on top 3, but page Lamed of this Chaveret from the shiur that Rav Motl was giving to some of the Bochum in Borough Park. Avav emes ha'adam yisrael tzarech ladas. Lahamin. She'ein shum shayiches ben dvarim elu. V'av shemahani tshuva. Av shemahani tshuva. There's no shayiches between the severity of Pagam HaBris and the fact that there are tikkunim that are available to each and every one of us. V'av shemahani tshuva nishra ha'dova v'kol chumroso kifi shimekoyna. And to believe that even though tshuva works, nevertheless, nisha hadava b'kol chumrosa, the chumra of Pagam HaBris is true, it's real, and the strong language that the Zohar Kaddish uses regarding this aveira is real. It's important. On the other hand, that doesn't contradict the fact that the tikkunim are also very real and accessible to us, and that we could all work on them in a very 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 in a very clear and simple way, which we're going to be learning a lot about the Mitzvah Shem. Makom makom yesh laze adayin tikkun. V'nita l'hamshel zayis. So Rav Motl gives a marshal. La'averis ritzicha. The worst aver that, if we didn't know what the Zohar Kodesh and we didn't hear about these things, we would say that the worst aver that one could imagine is killing somebody. Right? Murder is the worst aver imaginable. Shen l'chadav agaru yoyisim liyas ritzach. There's nothing worse than a person being a murderer. V'nil haya odam. So let's say, so he gives a marshal of somebody that, God forbid, was a ritzeh b'mezid, not an accident. He killed somebody intentionally. V'achakach ola b'liba lasas tshuva. V'achakach ola b'liba lasas tshuva. And he decided to do tshuva. There are people that are like that. There's somebody that I know that was telling me that he was in prison, he was with murderers, and there was a yid there that did tshuva, deep, real, sincere tshuva, while he was in prison. He made a mistake that when he killed somebody, it happened to be that she was the daughter of a politician. That's why he's never going to get out. Because that politician is, I mean, he made Hashem, he should get out, but the politician is trying to make sure that he won't. So he did tshuva in prison. So this person in the marshal, all I believe, lost his tshuva. Tshuva, we don't find in any of the Makaras that tshuva does not work when it comes to murder. We don't find that tshuva doesn't work. The problem is, you know, tell that to the family. Now this person wanted to do tshuva samishkal, you know, he wanted to do serious tshuva. So since he killed somebody, this is just make believe, but it's emotional. Since he killed somebody, so now he wants to spend the rest of his life saving lives. He's going to work to save lives. So he's Isaac Batzal's Nefashis, whatever it is, he joins Hatzalah, he goes to medical school, gets a degree to save people's lives. Umosa Nafsha Kol Yomav, Umamish Hishlech Nafsha Mineged. He was Mosa Nefesh all of the rest of his life, and everything that he had for himself became not important. Lat solus nefashis to save other lives. So, ad shehitzel alfei nefashis b'mesius nefesh. This person spent his life and he saved thousands of lives as a way to repair the terrible damage that he did by killing that person. Kegon shenichnas b'mkayam, he was rescuing people in the ocean and so on. Shetov b'yom chadayim. V'akidei kach shenis damen leisha habonim shel oisei ish shenirtzach al yado. Not only that, I'm just becoming less credulous the story as we go along, but not only that, but he actually had the opportunity once to save the children of the fellow that he murdered. He endangered his own life to save the children of this person. Now, the reason that Marshall is becoming so strong is there's a reason why he's making this marshal, and even though it's like, what's the chances of this happening, that's not the point. The point is this. To the point that the guy that he killed came to him in a dream. So the guy came to him in a dream and said, I marchal you for what you did that you killed me. Ki yitzalta as bonai, or bini, you'd save my kid, you'd save my children. So that was the completion. And obviously, you can't, there's nothing better than what else could he do? He was saving other people's lives, and he saved the family of this person. His whole life is doing tshuva for this sin. And he's saving many, many, many thousands of people. Now, as far as Hilchas Tshuva is concerned, he certainly has been mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva, and all that you could do. He's done everything. So the charata and the vidu and the kabbalah haba for sure, he'll never do it again, and he's done whatever a human being could possibly do. Achaim yovo elchad v'yomer shiritzicha eno dover chomer kol kach. So would anybody in his right mind now tell this person that, or say b'chlal, that murder is not such a serious affair? So yechidim lasas tshuvala. You did the worst thing imaginable. You took a person's life, and this person had a wife and had children and so on and so forth. And you did the worst thing imaginable. And according to the Torah, this person now is a Baal Tshuva. This question comes up l'maisa. And I had this discussion. This was a conversation that was with Rav Osher Weiss, one of the great poskim of our generation. And he was talking about a situation that he had in his own shul in Ramot, that there was an individual, who had been imprisoned. He was guilty of crimes, certain crimes of molestation, Hashem Yirachem, and he was in jail, and he was Isaac in tshuva, mamish yomim v'layla in tshuva, in a very real way that was being monitored all the time by the Rav and by the Olam that he was with. And this was a serious question that came up about him davening in shul. I'm not talking about going to daven for the Ombud. This is a question in halacha. First, there are a number of issues regarding parents who felt uncomfortable with him being in the same shul with their kids, which is a practical question. So Rav Weiss said, really, he really felt the best thing would be for him to daven like in a nursing home, you know, like with his minion in a nursing home. That would be the ideal place for him to daven. Because wherever he's going to go, and it's known, his past is known, and he doesn't hide it. But everything he's done in his life for like the last 10 years is tshuva. And the doctors are giving haskama that he's this and he's that. Everything is psychologist, whatever haskamas they can give. He's like it's the best possible situation, having done this horrible thing. It can't be better than this. And in halacha, there are still shilas and sveikas. But what Rav Weiss was saying is that mitzad hilchas tshuva, he's a Baal Tshuva. He's a Baal Tshuva. Is there anybody that's an apotropos when it comes to this kind of a sickness to say that it'll never happen again? Who could sign a paper like that? Nobody's a navi to say such a thing. But as far as the sincerity of his tshuva is concerned, he's a Baal Tshuva. And people, therefore, he felt should treat him in a dignified way, and so on and so forth. So there were other people that were there, and there was a whole discussion back and forth. And there's a commotion, and so on. And it's not especially in this particular type of an aveira. But there is such a thing where a person is a Baal Tshuva, and that no one in his right mind would say that in any way lessens the chumra, the severity of the crime that was committed. Nobody could say such a thing. It's a horrible crime. That crime and this crime of Revitzich, it's horrible. But Yodcha Yimincha Psucha L'Kabel Shavim. Yimincha Psucha L'Kabel Shavim. But Hashem is Baruch is Makabel, a person's tshuva. Again, there are precautions. You don't want him, you don't want a play date with the guy or something. Okay. But Yemincha psucha l'kabel shav, and that doesn't in any way take away from the chait. Again, vina bevade shalsa tshuva gemura achim heim yavo erchav yom eshev tzicha enad avacham echol kach. You see that the Torah says that you could do tshuva even for murder. So it must be that what the murder is not as bad as we thought. That's crazy. So yecholim lasa tshuva la. Would anybody say such a thing? It's not such a terrible thing to kill someone. If it were possible to bring a dead person back to life before Tchias HaMesim, then you could say, all right, it's not so bad. Like I told you about this conversation that some years ago that in the bungalow in the mountains there were two little kids that were talking. Someone told us that they heard a conversation between two little kids. I think I just told these lists. I don't remember. There were two little kids that were talking, and one kid was saying to the other kid, there was an adult that was like the cutest things when you hear little kids talking, they don't know that you're there, right? So there was an adult that was on the side, and one kid was saying to the other that my babi died. and my grandmother died. And the other kid said, why don't you just charge her? You know, why don't you just plug her in? That he only, everything he ever heard, whenever something dies, you can just plug it into the wall. So he figures, like, you know, why don't you just plug your grandmother into the wall? She'll be fine. So, you know, I guess at some point they're going to have to tell this kid that, you know, you can't charge your grandmother. It's finished. You know, after the Levi, it's done. Until Tchias HaMeisim. So if it were possible to bring the mason back to life, so then you would say, okay, what's the big deal? You plug her in for a few hours, she'll be fine. But lema yisav, al'ata avshet tshuva mo'elas, ain't a mafkis a meklas, is a shvichas dama. Even though tshuva works, even for a murderer, that doesn't lessen in any way this the horror of spilling a person's blood. Shlo yechomer kol kach, v'chomer iser be'eno oimei. So Mottles explained, there's no shaychus. It's a subtle leap that a person has to make in his head. That the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom reaches out to a person, even though you and I feel like I can't go near this guy, the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I'm prepared to accept him, I'm prepared to reach out to him, doesn't in any way make it, in any way less of an aveir. In any way less of an aveir. Sheyochel yosh aveir tiyachamur ma'oid, Hagam sheyol azat shuva v'tikun. It could be a very serious aveira, and shuva works. Shuva works. And certainly, when it comes to the inyan of pegam aris, it's not this kind of a shuva like this, like the murder. It's different, but it's very serious inyan. But it can be fixed. Uvechein sarach ladas dovezeh shlo yiniach ha'odam asum en hayet zahara hamirash li yidei oisei shuva beglal chaymer hachait. Because there's that Yetzirah that says, and this is what a lot of the Bochum are hearing, and there are adults that they've heard talks from that support this, that this Aveira, we're told, is something that you cannot fix. And if the Yetzirah tells you that this is something that you can't repair, so you have people that they're in a marriage, and the therapists are shaking their heads and they say, there's nothing we can do for you. This marriage is irreparable. So then, once there's Yeyush, then it's Fafal, and there's no reason to hold back from anything. So if a young man or an older person, there are people who are sitting right here in this room, because in every tzibur of Jews, wherever there are people, the Jews who grew up with hearing these things, there's a subtle, subtle little thing in a person's head that says that anyway, benkach or benkach, I'm not in good standing in God's eyes. I'm not in good standing in Hashem's eyes. And I can't expect to have a lechtige olam haba because of things that I did when I was a bocher, or even as an adult. So there's that subtle thought of things already being, I'm ready, like my life is already, my Yiddishkeit is already a b'day evid. Right? Could be somebody saw something, not yesterday was Shabbos, or Monday Shabbos, or on Friday, that was not pure. And there's that thing in the head that says, that for a person like me, my whole Yiddishkeit is now a bedevit. My tefillin is a bedevit. My kima mitzvah is a bedevit. My davening is a bedevit. Everything is not pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of this pegam, especially when it's a pegam that we're told beferish that terrible, terrible, terrible thing. So there's that Yetzirah that says that because of the chaymer hachait, that because this is such a serious aveira, that there's no reason to look at yourself as being a tzaddik. Now, how could this be? And Ramotel said this last week. We read this last week. And that we're going to learn more in the next Maimer that we learn. What does that mean? That when Ramotel said that you still have to look at yourself as a tzaddik. And the question, of course, obviously people are asking it, if I look at myself as a tzaddik, then why should I change? And what does that mean to look at yourself as a tzaddik? If it says in the Zohar Kodesh that what you did is avaricious, and that it's a terrible, terrible pgam in all the olamos, what does that mean? Because it's not a game to say, when the tzaddik is saying over here that you're still a tzaddik, and that's what it means, to be a shomer habris, means, what Ramatla, we saw this in an earlier mimer last year, that what it means to be a shomer habris is, despite all the mistakes and all the wrongdoings of my life in that area, I'm still to look at oneself as still being on the roster, on the starting team of Jews or Shomer HaBris. But isn't that ludicrous? What is this, a joke? How could it be that I'm a Shomer HaBris? Why would the Baruch Shalom have me on his list of people who are Shomer HaBris if I know that I'm Pagim in the Bris? I did it the other day, and I feel like I don't have the strength to stop myself from doing it again. So how could I be on the list of Shomer HaBris? How does that put me on that list of Shomer HaBris? We need to understand that more. The Gemara speaks about certain individuals who are at the top of Hashem's list. At the top of Hashem's list. One of them is a Ravak, a bachelor, that lives in a city, not in a farm, but he lives in a city where there's a lot of stuff going on, and he doesn't sin with anyone. He doesn't go to any woman. And his b'chiyas, his tzalkas, his tefillas, Hashem has at the top of his list. So can a person feel that he's on that list, that I live in the city, and I have done things that are wrong? Or nowadays you can live anywhere, but if you have a computer, it doesn't make a difference. You can live by yourself, you know, on a raft in the ocean or something, as long as you have a plug, I guess. Or I'm sure they have places there you could charge from. So could I still consider myself to be at that place of Hashem's list? What's Ramatul saying? That you have to see yourself as being a tzaddik. I'm a kulam tzaddik. Right? So what does that mean? That if you know yourself, so how could it be that you should still look at yourself as a tzaddik? You know, this is the most important nakuda for every boy in yeshiva now? Okay, we'll talk about ourselves, but for every boy in yeshiva? Because the guys are walking around looking at themselves as being v'shoim mamish. And the frum of the place, the frum of the upbringing, the bigger the v'shoim they look at themselves as being. The frum of the place, the bigger they see themselves as being v'shoim. If they were raised in a way of tamimus, and a very, very strong way, so then they see themselves as being the biggest Rishayim. If you raise them more of a relaxed environment, so then you don't see it as being such a big Rishayim, so you just say, I've got other problems. But if you were raised in tamimus, so you walk the kids in Yerushalayim and the neighborhoods in Borough Park and Williamsburg and Monroe and Bnei Brak, with the chevra where they were raised in a certain way, so these bachim are walking around feeling that they're not at the top of the list. They're not on that page at all. They're on a different page. They're bechlal not on that page. So how is it possible that such a bachim should be able to get up in the morning to look at himself and say, no, even though what I just did last night, that I'm a tzaddik? What kind of game is that? So we need to understand this more ba'omek, what that means. And how could you still be a Shomer HaBris? What does that mean, you're a Shomer HaBris? You're a Pagan HaBris. This is not like encouragement. It's not just to encourage people, to make them feel good. What's the pnimius of this? There are many, many people, they would hear such a thing, and they would say, that's totally outrageous. Not only that, you're opening a door for people to do all kinds of favors, and no matter what they do, you tell them it's okay, you're a tzaddik. So what he's saying right now, before we go more into this, is that there is a danger of that, and people can misconstrue that. But the truth is that it's not a stira. The truth is that you are guilty of something that's seriously wrong. There's something that's very wrong in your life, but you can be connected to tikkunim, and even though it repeats itself, and you work as long as you're in the sugya of working on it. That today you're working on this tikkun, and you're a tzaddik. That you're on Hashem's page. You're that bachelor in the city that's trying to be good, that's not running off with the lady in the middle of the night. You're on that list. And of course, where do we see this from? From Yosef HaTzaddik. Now let's continue. Now this we spoke about a little bit. Around 7 or 8 months ago, and it's very important to review this. V'inimidas kedushas habris misyacheses liyosef atzadik yisod oilam. The midah of shmiras habris, of course, is yosef atzadik. V'af she Yaakov, right? I'm sure many of you will remember we spoke about this. V'af she Yaakov, hayat tzadik gadol. Yaakov Avinu, he was a bigger tzadik. V'hayah ha-bechir sheba'ovis, Chazal call him the top of the ovis, and that certainly means of the ovis and the children. Yaakov Avinu was the greatest. V'omu Chazal, shlei ro'a kerem yomav. Now Chazal, who know the truth, and who heard this from, it had a Kabbalah like this, it goes all the way back to Moshe went into the Baruch Shalom, because otherwise, how do people know? But the Baruch Shalom knows, and the Baruch Shalom put his signature on Yaakov to say, L'ra kerem yomav. It means he never ever had a dream that caused him to lose any drop. He never ever wasted a drop of Zerah Kodesh. Never, ever, ever such a thing. Hashem signed on that. That's a record, no? That's a record. Mamash a record. So if you wanted to make the Jewish people, and you wanted to have Tzadik Yisrael Olam, and the Rebbeinu Shlom says, this, that Yaakov L'ro'a Keri Miyamov, L'ro'a Keri Miyamov, never happened to him a Maisa. Not only intentionally, unintentionally, in his sleep. L'ro'a Keri Miyamov. Kulay Kodesh, Zera Kodesh, Mamish. Vaya Tzadik Emish Lo Nichshol Me'olam B'Shmiras HaBris. But he was never Nichshol B'Shmiras HaBris. Mikom Mekom Midosu SheYaakov Avinu Eina HaMida Shel Tzadik Yisrael Olam. The great wonder is that the Midah of Yaakov is not the Midah of Tzadik Yisrael Olam. Rak Midosu SheYosef HaTzadik. But the Midah of Tzadik Yisrael Olam is Esav HaTzadik, not Yaakov Avinu. This is a very strong question. Right? Many of you know the answer because we spoke about it a while back from Ramatul. But it's a very strong question. The number one choice for Tzadik Yisrael Olam is Yaakov Avinu. How come it was given to Esav HaTzadik? So the answer is, Ki le'eved nimka Yosef HaMitzrayim. Because Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim, he moved into the bad neighborhood with all the newsstands and advertisements only when he was older. When he was an old man, then Yaakov Avinu moved to the bad neighborhood. But Yosef went there as a young man. As a young man, not only as a young man, lonely, kicked out of his family. You know, every reason in the book, like to slip into the darker, into dark places. He had every reason to go into a dark place. And I don't think he was the best looking person, the best looking guy in all of Mitzrayim. They all were Meshigga for him. Who Chazal say was the most beautiful person that ever lived, one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. And he was the most vulnerable guy. That when the brothers came and they showed Yaakov Avinu the Ksinus Pasim with the blood on it, and Tarif, that Yosef was torn to pieces. He was killed. Well, it doesn't say killed. He was torn to pieces. So Chazal says she Yaakov rosh she Yosef yikoshel b'maisi eishes Potifar v'yetzim v'nu esar tipin zer levatola. So Chazal say that when Yaakov knew intuitively that Yosef HaTzadik was alive. That's why the Archaim HaKadosh explains when it says, Vayimoyin Le'es Nachem, right? He refused to be consoled. Because you can't be Misnachem, the same way you can't give the, he can't give the Chama because he wasn't dead. So Vayimoyin, Yaakov Avinu knew that he wasn't dead. So Vayimoyin, therefore he couldn't be Mekalb Nechama. He couldn't be Mekalb Tanchumen. Vayimoyin Le'es Nachem, he refused. Vayimoyin. Because he believed that Yosef HaTzadik was still alive. But Chazal says, what does it mean, Tarif Tarif? So what does it mean he was torn into pieces by wild animals? Chazal say he saw in the future the wild animal was the wife of Potipharah. And he was torn to pieces by the wife of Potipharah because he would lose 10 drops at that moment of excitement. He didn't do the Aveira. Chazal say he held himself back. And he held himself not to do the Aveira. He wanted to. He was filled with a crazy desire to do that. And And as a result of that, there were 10 drops that were lost, of Zera Levatola. And from that, Yaakovinu said such a neviyus of Tarif Tarif Yosef, that Yosef is going to be torn to pieces by a wild animal. And the Jewish people, Bechlal, would have to go through a lot to fix that inyan of Yosef and Tzadik losing those 10 drops. It was a serious thing. As it says in the Kisvei, because the 10 drops that Yosef and Tzadik lost, so because of that, the Asar Haruge Malchus, Rabbi Kiva and so on, of the Haruge Malchus that we say, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, that we killed our Kiddush Hashem, the Tanoim. And other things that there was suffering that came into the world as a result of Yosef HaTzadik losing those 10 drops. So you can't say that it wasn't a serious violation for who he was, the son of Yaakov Avinu. Not only that, he was the one that was being groomed to be. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, he was the one that was going to be Leiro Keri Miyamov. He was going to be the one that was the next one that was going to bat 1,000. Right? He was the one that was being raised to bat 1,000. Perfect. Perfection. And this was the fall of Yosef HaTzadik, even though we're all very proud of him and we say, oh, wow, it's amazing. But for Yaakov Avinu, this was a terrible, terrible calamity. Torah, Torah, Yosef. Ramesh. To Yaakov Avinu, it was like Kilu, he was torn to pieces, that the whole thing is fafal. The whole binyan of the Jewish people, the building which is only built upon Tzadik Yisod Olam, that continuation of a line, that within the Jewish people there would always be that Tzadik that bats 1,000, that keeps the rest of the Jewish people breathing. To Yaakov Avinu, it was fafal. Gone. He didn't see a tikkun. So he says such a lashon. He has been devoured. He was devoured and destroyed by a terrible beast. She ages Potiphar, meaning the wife of Potiphar. She pogma b'shmir sabrishala, who brought this downfall. Even though he didn't do the ma'aseh with her, but he was pogim in the bris. Even though he came, according to that opinion in the Gemara there in Saita, he came to the house he waited till there was no one home, and he wanted to be alone with her, and he had this thing all planned out. You know, whatever, he was all planned out that this is what he was going to do, and he knew that this is what she was asking for. Time after time after time after time. It wasn't like there was a suffix that she would agree or she wouldn't agree. And then when it came down, and then when it came to the Lamaisa, there was that excitement that caused that Zera Levatola. But Umiyein Ubarach V'yotza Chutza. But he ran away. Ukedichsiv V'yazav Bigdo B'yada. He left his clothing in her hand. V'yonas V'yotza Chutza. Rama Chazal, and he ran out. Rama Chazal, the Hayom Rav Yonos b'schus, this parish of B'shalach, Hayom Rav Yonos, this is b'schus, v'yazah b'gdub yod. The heart of the Kriyas Yamsuf, heart of the Yamsuf, the ocean divide, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik were being carried through the ocean, and they saw Yosef HaTzadik, and it says by Yosef HaTzadik, v'yonos v'yetzachus, so Hayom Rav Yonos. So in the schus of the Tzadik who ran away, so the ocean now runs away, it divides. Now this is the Sfarah Kadoshim on this pasuk. She grabbed his beged, his clothing. Now you all know that the word beged, this is a lot you've seen in the Sfarah Kadoshim, that beged is a lotion of what? Treason, begida. A boged is a traitor. So, v'tispesei b'bigdo, miloshen begida v'cheit. She chapped him. And this nekuda, but this beseba big though, this the Yetzer always tries to do. The Yetzer always tells you that you're a bogeid. That sof kol sof, you're guilty of treason. Because you do aveiros. So she grabbed the clothing, means she grabbed, she the embodiment of the sitracha, grabbed this weak point, this nekuda bebigdo, miloshem begida bechet, sha'omuloi harik krami mele nechshalta bechet. Listen, she knew that he was excited, she knew that he came to the house for her, and she knew, however she understood this, that he was already nechshal. In other words, that he was falling apart. That he was no longer Yaakov Avinu. She knew that. Again, how these things, she knew that. That he was already nechshal. Umemelata kvayochalachtoiv lavroid. No. Vatispeseva bigdo, she was saying, you know that you're not, you know that the record is finished. You're not batting 1,000. Because you're already so excited, I know that you're already a nechshal. You're already nechshal. Okay, we didn't do anything yet. But at this point, why not? It's already hafal. You're not batting 1,000. This whole big plan for your family, your father had this whole dream that he had for you. They didn't want you to begin with, in the end, with the brothers, and the whole story. And now, this whole business about you're going to go to Mitzrayim, you're going to build a whole holy people, it's not working out. It's not working out because you struck out. You're not batting. That's it. Or you're not the little Garrig of holiness or whatever. There's another guy afterwards. No, who broke the record for consecutive games? Huh? Ripken. He broke his record.
Yeah.
Okay. He's still playing this Ripken. All right. So when I was a kid, we thought that nobody would ever break Lou Gehrig's record. I don't know that. I was very upset to hear that there's someone that broke the record. He wasn't the Yankee. It would have been a Yankee. Really. But so Yosef HaTzadik felt, that's it. Every one of us knows that feeling when, like, it's not working out. Like, you wanted to keep that record and it's not working out. It's not working out. Aval Yosef is Gaber. This is the HaTzadik Yisod Olam. This is the, not that Yosef HaTzadik didn't have a michshal on his level. Something happened. Something went wrong. And at that point, everything she was saying to him was, turns out you're not such a big tzaddik after all. You knew I was here by myself. You came here looking for me. And you got all excited. So don't tell me you're some kind of a big holy person. Yosef is gaber v'yonach bigdo etzlo. He left her holding the clothing. What he was saying to her, not to her, but he's saying to us, and he's saying to himself, what he's saying to himself is, "Hinini shoyma habris." And she would have laughed at him. You're a shoyma habris. And there are other people who laugh at him. Maybe even some rabbis that would laugh at him, and say, "You're not a shoyma. You were a shoyma habris." Now you're not a shomer habris now, but Yosef HaTzadik was mechazik himself and said, "Hinni shomer habris. I'm a shomer habris. Ani lo chatosi. I didn't commit that sin. I'm not with Yaakov. I'm not with my father. It didn't work out to 1,000. Hinni shomer habris." What happened to me, there was an oinus. It was something that I lost control. It was ba'oinus. Vav shitzarach tshuva, there's no question. Now, Yosef HaTzadik, what's considered to be an oinus is, nowadays what's considered to be an oinus, only Hashem knows what's an oinus nowadays for a young man. Only Hashem knows. The person himself has to think of that, I did something that I have to fix. You know, it needs a lot of tshuva, it needs the tshuva. But an oinus means something that was really not what the person wanted. It was something that he couldn't control. In nechshal teheza ba'oinus. I was nechshal, and that nechshal was ba'oinus. Vav shetzarach tshuva, and even though I have to do tshuva, it's a serious thing. Gamal Oinus, because even what was I doing in such a matzav that I went to the house to be with her, right? So It's not an Oynes Gomer. It's not like I was in the back of the Beis HaMedrash late at night and I was the only guy there and this lady came to me. I went to do this. So to say that it's mamish, an Oynes, complete Oynes, you can't say that it's complete Oynes. But Lamassu in the Gemara talks about a woman who was raped, and after that already began. By that, once it already started, this Nagel Halacha, that once it already started, the rape itself was against her will, and she was fighting against this guy, and she was fighting and screaming and kicking to get this guy off of her, but then she couldn't. Afterwards, the Gemara says, once he's already in the Maisa, she would even pay the guy that he shouldn't stop. Because then she already is enjoying it. There could be such a thing. But that was began in such a way of Aynas. And then the Gemara says, by that point, the Yetzer was already mislabish in her. But it began as something that was beyond her control, that the guy mamish raped her. Now, how do we define Aynas exactly nowadays? What is the definition of Aynas? So Yosef HaTzadik went to the house to be alone with the wife of Potiphar. And it's not the same that he was raped. So he went there. And he has to do tshuva. Therefore, this oinus is an oinus that requires serious soul-searching. Like, what was I thinking? What did I do? This is wrong. I can't do this. I can't visit people like this. I have to be careful. I have to tighten up, you know, Hilchas Yichud. And I have to be very careful, and I need some help, and I got to go to some classes, and I have to work on myself, and Hilchas Tshuva, all of that. But Hinini Shomer HaBris. Hinini Shomer HaBris. Can you say that for a bocha nowadays, with his phone and so on? Yes. And that's what Matla is saying. Hinini Shomer HaBris. Am I an Oynes? Yes, he's an Oynes because of the insanity that we're living in. This Baruch is also an Oynes. He's an Oynes. But he has to do tshuva for that. So he has to do tshuva. But is he doomed to be off Hashem's list and to be, God forbid, of Russia in the eyes of Hashem? Chas v'chalila. Hinni tzadik, hinni shoyim abris. If he lets go and he doesn't care and he just abandons himself, then he taka becomes a Russia. He leaves the treason in her hands to say that because of a person like you, a nice Jewish boy like me got into this mess. So you could say, is he not taking responsibility? Yes, but Tzadik did tshuva his whole life. He took responsibility, but he understood that what happened here in his life was something that was a madrega of an oinus. And therefore, the presence of this person in my life, which I didn't put myself into this matzah that I got into this house with this lady, meaning to begin with, how I ended up here, she's the Rashanta. V'hivshit atzmo min ha-chet, he ripped off the chet from himself, the ugliness, he did tshuva later on. But the ikkar right now is not to think that I'm guilty, not to think that I'm a Rasha, not to think that I'm in violation. One thing, I can still not really mess up with this lady. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of this because it could get worse. I had this little bit of a problem, so he spilled some zera. She's making fun of him. And at that point, and he becomes the paradigm of what? Tzadik Yisad Olam. Not Yaakov Avinu, who wasn't in the house with Potiphar. Not Yaakov Avinu, who lived with the Shvatim. Not Yaakov Avinu, who lived in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. Yosef HaTzadik, who lived in downtown Mitzrayim and got messed up with Potiphar and already had something that went wrong and he lost his perfect record. And he went there to lose the record. And he, with all that passion, all that excitement, Vayonis Ve'etzei Achutza, so he becomes Tzadik Yisod Olam. The Baruch Shalom says that's Tzadik Yisod Olam. That is the one who gives you and I, all of us, every Jew to the end of time, the ability to be Mezgaber. We don't get that from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we venerate, we revere, we admire, we love, we respect everything. But I can't, that's like, no. That's not, he doesn't speak to me. I can't do that. But Vayonis Vayitza Chutz, I can do. I can run away from the next thing, the thing that I never wanted to do. I can run away from that thing. Lemeshu Adain Hat Sadik Yisod Olam. V'hainu V'hemen V'kach Shu Tzadik Yisod Olam. Just let's finish a few more sentences. V'kach Tzor Kol Adam Yisrael Lahamim B'tzikosam. Every single Jew has to believe in his Be'etzem, in his Tzidkes. Shoi V'amich Kulam Tzadikim. Shoi V'etzem Kol Yisrael Em Tzadik Yisod Olam V'afilu Mu Nichshal. Even if he failed. Mikol Mokom Kevin Shu Be'etzem Mut Tzadik. Since Be'etzem I'm Yosef at Tzadik. Yazel, and I'm Yaakov Avinu, Be'etzem. Yazel Hashem is Baruch Shachein Yet Tzadik Hashem. If I want, and I'm a Shomer HaBris, which means, like we spoke about last week, Shomer means Yosef Mitzap, I want to be Shomer HaBris, then I believe Be'emes that Hashem will help me. If I keep on working this, I'll be a Tzadik. So Ikish Shmiris HaBris Sheyamin Shemadrigosu Hu Shu Be'etzem Shomer HaBris. That's the Ikish Shmiris HaBris, is to guard the covenant, to know, to guard that true perspective. To guard that true perspective, that be'etzem, I'm a tzaddik. I'm a shomer habris. V'afilu nichshal yazal kadosh baruch hu achein yemashu be'etzem. That in the end, I will become the person who I really am, who I want to be. V'lo yiniach atzvus mishum atzvus, and not to allow himself to become depressed. V'ni atzvus, the last page, atzvus, he has surat tamen. Sadness, depression, giving up, that's always forbidden. Even the bitterness that one should have, like the Tanya discussed, even there, it's only to be tzibrochen if the tzibrochen kai helps you to become better. Not if you end up being depressed and they have to put you into some asylum, but only if it helps you to get better, to change. But if the Marius, if the bitterness brings you to what? To Yeyush. And he's going to be Messiah from everything Shuva. That's like the sin itself. It's even worse than Achait. Because the sadness, the depression, the giving up comes purely from the Sitrach, from the other side. Because you have to throw it out. What do we do the Seil HaZazel? Ramban had to explain. It looks like it's a crazy thing. It looks like it's something weird, like it's not Jewish. That all the Averis are put onto the Seil HaZazel Yom Kippur and it's thrown off the mountain. So sure, that sounds nice. That doesn't sound Jewish. Shalochos kol chatoy b'nei. Look in the Ramban. Shalochos kol chatoy b'nei Yisrael v'shilchu oisim la'azazel. Haynu ki averus b'nei Yisrael oisim ein ze mitzad atzmus. Doesn't mean I'm forgetting. Doesn't mean I have to have do tshuva. Doesn't mean it doesn't require tikkunim. Doesn't mean nothing happened. But it means it goes la'azazel because the etzim who I am is la'Hashem, is in the Beis Hamikdash, and my averus they're thrown off the side of the mountain because that's not really etzim who I am. I saw that there was a
yid who came to the Leiv Simcha. To the Geir Rebbe, came to Leiv Simcha, and he came to the Geir Rebbe, and he was married for many years, and he didn't have any children. And he came to the Leiv Simcha, he came from Chutz Lars to go to Leiv Simcha to ask the help that he should have a Yeshua. They should have children. He came to Leiv Simcha, and he thought Leiv Simcha would give him some kind of a skula, you know, whatever, to mix toad sweet and the wine from Havdalah, Matzim Kippur or something like that. And in the end, he went to Leiv Simcha. Leiv Simcha said to him, "No, I besimcha. You should be besimcha." So he said, "What?" And the Rebbe said to him, "I besimcha. You should be besimcha." So he came with his Rebbe or Rosh Hashiva to the Leiv Simcha. And afterwards, the Rosh Hashiva came back in and said that, "Rebbe, you know, he's having a problem being happy because he's married for a long time. They don't have any children, and all of his friends have already families. So, are you giving what's the eitzah? I besimcha. What kind of eitzah is that to be besimcha?" So the Leiv Simcha said, "What do you want from me? I'm telling you the truth. That the only thing that could help this person that he should be besimcha. So, what are you asking me? I should say something that's not true." That's what he said. The Leiv Simcha said, "You want to tell you something else?" And the end is that he worked. He said he's going to work on this and work on this on Simcha, and he had a Yeshua. Mm-hmm. So the Leif Simcha was saying to him, I can't tell you something that's not true. I'm telling you that this guy needs to be B'Simcha, and if he be B'Simcha, I'll have a Yeshua. So you want me to give him some kind of an Eitzah? I don't have any other Eitzah. The Eitzah is B'Simcha, and B'Simcha Seitzeyu. And if you're B'Simcha, then he'll go out from this inyan that he's stuck in. He'll go out. Him and his wife will have a Yeshua. And V'Kachav. That all the Yeshuas come in such a way. They don't come in any other way. That's the only way they come. Can I tell you one other short story? I know it's past this man. Because I saw this yesterday. You saw in this from Meir Chabidim, and I saw that he brought this down. This Gevaldig Maisa, that after the Lulav Rebbe was Nifter, so his son, the son's name was Rebbe Lazar. There was a second name, I don't remember. Anyway, the old Rebbe died. And you know, by the Chassidim, by the Levi, they already appoint the next Rebbe, right, to be Rebbe, by the Levi. So it was by the Levi, and they didn't even yet put the dirt on the father. They didn't yet put the dirt on the father. And the son, the new Rebbe, said that they should bring him kvittles. They should bring him a kvittle. So, the Chassidim, like, people like it. It's a little bit inappropriate. Why don't we first bury, your father, and before you take kvittlach? We know that the minig is to name the Rebbe by the Levi, but can we first bury him, It's like, he looked at everybody, they didn't know what to do. We're going to start writing kvittles, and they're standing there. And the young Rebbe said, it's an Eisrotzen, it's a gewaldige Eisrotzen. It's an Eisrotzen. So they understood that meant that he somehow knew that his father came to Shemaim, that since his father came to Shemaim, there was an Eisrotzen of the Chassidim to have Yeshuas. So that's what they figured he meant. But afterwards, when they were talking to him, the new Rebbe, he explained, no, that's Bechlal, not what I was talking about. So they asked, so how could you do that? Like, what happened? So he said that when my father was there in the grave, so then there was this Eirus in Shemayim, because then it was you were going to appoint now I was going to be Rebbe, right? Once he's in the ground, I'm the new Rebbe. So in Shemayim, he said, I saw that all the Malachim started to laugh and said, he's the new Rebbe? And they all started to laugh, and he said, I felt that it was a big Eser Odson in Shemayim, but Like in Shemayim, they're all laughing. They were in a good mood, so I chopped their eyes. I wanted you to have a Yeshua. And they say that these people all had big Yeshuas. Like in Shemayim, he says, like, everybody was laughing. He's the new Rabbi, this guy's the new Rabbi. Samar de Gemaisa. If we would have any idea. So it's funny, like, right? We're tzaddikim, right? It's a galachta. It's a galachta. We're tzaddikim. We're Shemar HaBris. This time that we're living in is a big Eisrotz and Sai Shoivim, Bechlal, and Befrat, and the generation that we're in. If we would only know, if our kids would only know how much we could access without Tfilas and our Avodah, but such an Eisrotz and the people like us are trying to be Shoivim HaBris at the end of time, that in Shemaim they're laughing, they're saying, what, this guy's Yosef Etzadik? He's a Yosef Etzadik? This guy's a Yosef Etzadik? And while all the Malachim are laughing, you could chop around all kinds of Yeshuas. We should be able to see it.